Amen. God is good. He is so good. We're going to continue our series on hear, believe, and be healed. I want to ask you, what do you get excited about? What do you look forward to? You know, we all have different things that excite us or different things that we look forward to. I was thinking, you know, I look forward to the Thanksgiving meal on Thanksgiving Day. I look forward to that. I look forward to the holidays. I enjoy decorating my tree in the house and having and buying presents for those I love and care about. I enjoy and look forward to my favorite TV show at night. I look and get really excited about vacation when I think about laying on the beach and not having to cook or clean or anything like that. But we all have different things we get excited about. But I want to ask you a very serious question. Do you get excited about the Word of God? Do you look forward to the time that you get to spend to sit down and just enjoy reading it? Just to enjoy reading the Word. Do you look forward to coming and hearing the Word of God preached? Do you look forward to that? I remember as a child, and particularly as a teenager, if you were to ask me, what is your favorite day of the week? Hands down, I'd have to say Sunday. Sunday is the best day of the week. We get to go to church. I love going to church because church, my best friends were all there. I got to sing and worship, got to hear the Word. We got to go down to the altar and pray and see God. I love doing that. I love Sundays. It's a wonderful day. I always look forward to it. Do you look forward to Sunday like that? Is it the best day of the week for you? If you're not excited about the Word of God and about studying and reading it on a regular basis yourself, I have a couple of scriptures that I think will help you get excited about reading and studying your Bible. And that's found in John chapter 8, verse 31. Jesus said to those Jews who believed him. I'm going to change that to Jesus said to those at Grace Church tonight who believe in him, he is saying to you that if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Look at those words that are bolded. If you abide, Jesus is saying, abide in my word, you'll know the truth. That truth, it will set you free. You know, I get excited about the Word of God because it sets me free on the inside. It sets us free. Real truth that sets free can only come from the Word of God. So if there's an area of your life where you are bound up tonight, maybe you're depressed about something, upset, something just always gets you, you're not satisfied with some things and you feel unfulfilled, I'm telling you, there is a truth in the Word of God for you that will set you free. I get excited about the Word of God because it has the answer to whatever I face in this life. My day goes so much better when I started out with the Word. Last Wednesday morning, I got up late and missed my time in the Word. And it was a tight schedule because that morning I was scheduled to go to have two MRIs done back to back. So I had to go there, but I thought, you know, I'll just be fine. You know, I spend every morning in the Word and, you know, I'm consistently do that. It won't hurt me to miss this morning. So I go there and I was in this tube thing for over an hour and you can't move. And I thought, this is no big deal. Was hard, and I thought, man, I wished I'd spent my time in the Word, you know, and I would think about some scriptures and stuff. But you know, when I got home, I got out my two devotionals that I normally read on that day, and they were exactly what I had needed. I thought, if I had just had that, if I had just got up early enough to read those two devotionals while I was in that tube being so still, I could have been rejoicing because that was exactly the Word that I needed. But see, that Word couldn't be life for me because I hadn't been in the Word that morning so that it could be life, so that He could bring it back to my memory. So see, it's important. You can't live off of yesterday's Word. We need a fresh Word of God every day to come alive, because the Word can come alive on the inside of us. Well, good report. Yesterday we got the report back on both MRIs. They couldn't find anything wrong, neither one of them. Praise God. I told my husband, it seems like we always get a bad report, and it was so good to get a good report for once. But I tell you, the more truth that you learn from God's Word, the freer you will be on the inside. If you think you're free, I say you're not as free as you can be, because there's truth in the Word you know nothing about. And the more you learn, the freer you'll be. There's so much life in the Word. And the truth I want to declare to you tonight is that there is life in the Word of God. So my title is, The Word is Life. The Word is Life. Turn to Proverbs chapter 4, verse 20. Now I've gone to this scripture the last two times I've ministered, and I thought, surely I won't get that one out this time, but you just can't get away from it. You know, you can't get all the truth out of one verse of scripture. It can just come alive, and something new all the time can come out of it. You can't exhaust one word of scripture in the Word of God. But here we go. Proverbs 4, verse 20. My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life. They are life. They are life to those that find them, and health to all their flesh. What are those words? My words. What are his words? They are life. He says, my words, they are life. Is the word life to everyone? No, only to those that find them. Look at that verse. They are life to those that find them. The blessings of God do not just randomly fall on people. Now, the sun was shining. Wasn't it nice today? Everybody got to enjoy, whether they're a Christian or not, they got to enjoy that wonderful sunlight today. It was great. It was great. But everybody did not experience the peace of God in their heart today. Only those who find it and have attended to that word, have it in their heart, enjoyed the peace of God. Not everybody enjoys the life of God's word, but they are available to all who will hear them, believe it in their heart. And if they hear it, hear that word, believe it in your heart, it will manifest in your life. So how does that word become life? By keeping it before your eyes and getting it down in your heart. It's not automatic. The word getting in us is not automatic, and it does staying in us is not automatic. You have got to attend to it and keep it before your eyes. If you do that, if you do what verses 20 and 21 say, give attention to his words. Incline your ear to his sayings and don't let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. They will be life. It's life to those that find them. So how do you find this life in God's Word? How do you find it? By giving attention to it. I'm going to say it again. Are you getting tired of hearing it? How do you find the life of God's Word? You've got to give attention to it. How do you give attention to it? You've got to get into it and read it and hear it. Hear messages preached about the Word. Read books about the Word. You've got to give attention. Give your attention to it and listen to it. Keep it before your eyes and in your heart. That's how you find it. It's a lifestyle. It's not just a once in a while thing that we do. It's our lifestyle. It's how we live. His words can heal your whole body, and that's good news because all kinds of things can go wrong with this physical body. Let's look in Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. I'm going to read that again. The Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. When I read that, that Spirit of God hovering, that's the power of God was there. It was hovering. It was there. And what happened? And God said, let there be light. And there was light. What released that great power that was within God himself? It was his words. He released his power with his words. When he spoke, let there be light, there it was. Everything that has been made was made by his words. Therefore, everything that has been created by his words will respond to his words. His words are powerful. They have power in them when they're spoken in faith. When we speak God's words in faith over our bodies that he created, our bodies will respond. Good news! Good news! Our bodies will respond to his words. And I want you to think about this. Your entire life and eternity is the result of your response to his words. Your entire life and your eternity is the result of your response to his words. So how you see the word, do you see it as important in your life? How do you treat the word? Do you treat it with respect and honor? Do you believe it or do you not believe it? Our response is our life. What determines a person's life and destiny? How they respond to God's words. tell you the greatest thing that can happen to you tonight is if you will fall in love with the Word of God. To believe it, to esteem it and respect it, for it will become your life. Because see, falling in love with the Word of God is falling in love with God Himself, because that shows you who He is. And you learn who He is and how He operates and what He does. So let me ask you, are you excited about hearing the Word? Are you excited about reading it? I tell you, in our day, the devil works overtime to get people to disesteem his word by not coming to church and just choosing to do other things. I am just astounded at the excuses people have for missing church. There's so much. I mean, I'm just like, oh my goodness. I even had somebody tell me one time they had to miss church because of their cat. Oh my gosh, a cat? You let a cat keep you from the word, from church, or some festival, or some whatever. But you know, I remember years ago, and I remember exactly where I was. I was in my parents' backyard, and I was walking actually from the driveway into the backyard because the devil tried to put a lie into me. So subtly, it just seemed okay. But that lie was that, you know, you don't need to go to church so much all the time. Why do you have to go every Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night? It's just not important. I mean, you know a lot. And it just seemed so, and it almost took hold. I felt it trying to take hold of me on the inside. It was a lie of the devil, and many in our world today have just accepted that lie. Because, you know, when you don't come, you obviously esteem the Word of God because you are here. So, relax. But, you know, people aren't here because they don't esteem the Word. It's not important to them. Something else was more important. Now, I know if someone works, and I'm not trying to be super judgmental, but many, many could be here tonight, but they just esteem something as more important. If you want the Word to be a powerful force in your life and create change, you have to attend to it. You've got to think about it, talk about it, get it in your heart, and keep it there, because then it'll become life and heal your body. You know, I like to run for exercise, but I haven't always liked running. In fact, I loathed running for so long. I just thought, why would anybody ever want to run? I remember in junior high, ran around that track one time and just collapsed in the grass. I don't ever want to run again. So running is nothing I never, ever wanted to do. But a few years ago, you know, I realized I've got to do some kind of aerobic exercise because I need more energy and I want to have a sharp mind. So I knew I needed to do something aerobically on a regular basis if I want to be healthy the way I want to be. And running was just it. That's convenient. That's something I could schedule and I could do. And so I just made that choice. Okay, I'm going to start running. And so, of course, it helps, you know, when you run if you're listening to something. So I got sermons. So I love listening to sermons. But I can remember running down the street thinking, and in my flesh, I was like, I hate this, but I would say out loud, I love to run. No, I'm going to make myself. I'm going to learn to love to run. And it was an effort, but I got past it and it got to where I enjoy running. But, you know, I don't always feel like it. I schedule it in my schedule, and I just do it whether I feel like it or not, and I reap the results and the benefits of it. More energy and a sharper mind. Now, I share that with you because why I do that? Because if you want the Word of God to have a powerful impact in your life, you've got to make it a priority. See, I have made running a priority. I put it in my schedule and I do it. If the Word of God is important to you, you've got to make it a priority, put it in your schedule and do it. You say, but I just don't really love the Word of God. I mean, I think about reading and I think, yuck. Okay, I used to be there. I remember when I was there. And so what do? You ask God, you pray, be honest with the Lord and say, God, you know, I don't even like to read, but Lord, help me. Give me a desire to read your word. Help me to understand it as I read it. Help me to learn to love it. Do you think that's a prayer God will answer? I think he will. I think that would bring joy to his heart that you would sincerely, you know, be honest. If you'll just pray, he will give you a desire for it. But you got to decide, hey, I'm going to do this. And you get your Bible and read your chapter. You can read a chapter a day. Anybody can read one chapter. That didn't take very long. But just read it and give God the opportunity to develop a love for it. Give God the opportunity to be able to speak to you and give you what you need from His Word. God wants good things in your life. He's provided abundant life for you. It says in Hebrews 11:6, without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and He's a rewarder of those who do what? Diligently seek Him. How do we diligently seek Him? By getting in His Word. Just reading it. And you don't have to read it hours either. Just set you some time each day to diligently seek God. Just begin somewhere. Because see, you can't have faith if you're not in the Word, because faith comes from the Word. You can't please God without faith. So we get in the Word, it builds your faith, and you're pleasing God, and He will reward you. There's so much that God has for His children if we would just seek Him. Because our entire life is a result of how we choose to respond to God's Word. You know, most of you in here that I know of have been born again. You responded to the Word of God. You believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and He paid the price for your sins. You accepted Him as your Lord and Savior, and you became a Christian. You responded the right way to the Word of God. But not everybody responds that way, do they? They choose not to accept Him as Lord. You know, a wrong response to the Word of God brings bad things into your life. A wrong response would be choosing to disobey what He tells us to do in His Word. You know, I find whenever I disobey something that God is urging me to do, I always regret it. Always. I remember one time in a Blockbuster, you don't have those anymore, but I was looking for a movie and I picked one out and I thought God told me don't look at that, but I thought I want to see it, it won't hurt nothing, so I watched it anyway, and oh how I regretted it. Oh, I just had to deal with these horrible images that God knew I didn't need to see, but I didn't obey Him, so it was bad. But don't you hate it when you get a ticket because you've been speeding? Oh, I just hate that. You know, but what would happen if I would just obey? We're supposed to obey the laws of the land. I wasn't obeying, so I can't have God's blessing and goodness on my life if I disobey His Word. You know, if we disobey God's Word in regard to how we're supposed to handle our marriage or discipline our children, it just doesn't work right. We have to make that choice, and it can become life to us. But I think one of the things that Christians tend to do more than anything is that we tend to, in our wrong responses, just to ignore the Word and not make it a part of our life. We just kind of ignore it. We kind of put it over the side and just get busy doing other things and not make it a part of our life. If you do that, you're going to make a mess of things and you won't enjoy that abundant life God has for you. We need to understand how God operates in this life, because He's perfect and He doesn't need to change. How does God operate? He does everything by what His Word says. Anything that God does in our life is by His Word. He will not violate what He has said in His Word. So as we live our lives day by day, we should ask ourselves this question when we come up against an issue. Okay, what would Jesus do here? Or what would He say? Because whatever you face, the Word will tell you what to do. Our life is a response. Our life is a result of our response to God's Word. I want us to look at Revelation chapter 19. This is some exciting verses. This is, you know, Revelation is a vision that John had about heaven in the future. And in this passage of Scripture, Revelation 19, verse 11, this is the description of Jesus, our Savior, on a white horse. Let's see, what does it say? Now I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. And he who sat on him is called faithful and true. And in righteousness he judges and makes war. I like this part. His eyes were like a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. He had a name written that no one knew except himself. And he is clothed with a robe dipped in blood. Can you see that? A robe. What blood is that? It's His blood that He shed for us. He has this robe dipped in blood, and His name is called the Word of God. The Word of God. See, the Word of God is important. It is powerful. Jesus is the Word. He's my Lord, my Master, my Savior, my Redeemer. He is the Word. It says in John 1:14, and the Word became flesh. That's Jesus. He became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. See, the Word was made flesh. Jesus didn't operate as God. He operated as a man, because He did that to show us how we are supposed to live. Do you want to know how to live? Well, I want to have a challenge for you tonight. You pick up your Bible. You pick up your Bible and you read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Just those four books, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Each one gives a description of Jesus' life as he walked on this earth. How he reacted, what he did, what he would say, what he would think. If you'll do that, that's going to show you how to live. Because it shows us how he lived when he walked this earth. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. That's not hard. That's not hard. It's not hard to read chunks of the Bible. I remember thinking as a teenager, if I read one or two scriptures, I was doing good. Read a whole chapter, oh my gosh. I was just had this stronghold in my mind. And I remember, I don't know if I've shared this story or not. We're having one of those watch night services, you know, on New Year's Eve. And when you have like five different people preach and sing, you know, all the way up to midnight. And one of the men that went up there to do his little part, he opened up a book of the Bible, and I can't remember, it was one of the books that had about five chapters in it. And he stood up there, and his whole devotion, or his whole thing he did, he just read from the beginning to the end of the whole book. He just read one book of the Bible, five chapters. And the stronghold was broken. I thought, man, that didn't take that long. I can read more than a verse or two out of the Bible. And you can read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And it's not going to take you a whole year. You can do it in a month. You can do it in less than a month. You can do it. Don't get the devil deceive you in thinking you can't read it. Yes, you can. You get in it and see how Jesus lived. It'll bring victory into your life. How did Jesus live? Matthew 4, verse 1 tells us. Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, after he was hungry. Wouldn't you be hungry? You know, I get hungry missing one meal. I cannot imagine 40 days and 40 nights. You know, we just kind of read through that. But that's a long time. 40 days. Oh, my gosh. And now, when the tempter came to him, he said, "If you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread." See, here's coming as a temptation. Temptation. The devil comes and tempts you when you're weak, in the area where you're weak. But Jesus answered and said, "It is written." It is written. He's talking about the Word. What did he face temptation with? The Word. "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." I tell you, when temptation comes, we need to speak the word, and that's what Jesus did. He lived by the word. I live by the word. I declare to you not, I live by the word. The word of God is where my life is. You are not really living until you live by the word of God. People all over the planet are just existing in a physical plane. They don't have eternal life in them. There's no, if God is not your Lord, if the Holy Spirit is not on the inside of you, if you're not following and living by the Word of God, you're not really living life as it's supposed to be lived on this earth. People that are not Christians, the physical life here is kind of like a flower that blooms and withers and then it's gone. That's what your physical life is like. It's like a flower that blooms and withers, it's gone. Now, in our house, we have a gate to go through to get to our house. And this big entrance, we have a whole bunch of flowers we plant on either side. And it just started out with, we planted one little bloom. And some of them have two little plants on. We put them all down, just these single little plants all the way down. And it just didn't look like much. But I tell you, each one of those little bitty things got this big with flowers. I mean, it's like, wow, we got to remember this flower. We've never had flowers like that before. And they've been beautiful all summer long until last night the freeze got them. They're gone. You know, but what happened to them? There was no protection. There was no protection for them. That's life without the Word. You know, somebody may look like their life is going great. Man, it's just big. Everything's beautiful. But the devil will attack and it's all gone. They have no protection. We need the protection of God's Word. Just trudging through life without the Word is not living. Because when trouble comes, you have no real help. Man doesn't live by bread alone. You can't live and be victorious without the Word. You can't be an overcomer, have victory, have peace without the Word. You know, when your body gets weak, you eat something, don't you? To get strong. Because your body needs that nourishment in order to sustain life and strength and health. But you got to have spiritual food for your spirit as well. Without spiritual food, you're weak. And you put yourself in the position to be defeated. If you're going to live in victory, no matter the circumstances, you have to be spiritually strong. And to be spiritually strong, you have to have a steady diet of the Word. Amen. Skipping days without spiritual food will make you weak. Because if you're not regularly in the Word, you know what happens? You forget it. You slip back in your old ways. You can hear a truth and get all excited about it and say, you know, I'm going to do that. You know, the pastor's been preaching about the One Another series. What did you do? Have you been doing Sunday's message? Do you remember what it was? Oh, there it is. See, that's what happens. We get all excited, and then by Wednesday, we've forgotten what Sunday was. It was be kind to one another. Have you been kind to people this week? Like, oh, yeah, that's what it was. But see how you can forget it if you don't keep it before your eyes and attend to it? It can just go. It can just flit away because that's the way it can be. You know, old habits and ways of thinking and behaving are hard to break. I go to the YMCA. I belong to the YMCA in Joshua. And when I go there, I decided, you know, when I get to the health club, I've decided I'm not going to drive over here and go around this way and park. I'm going to go around this other way and park this way. So I thought, I'm just doing an easy change to make. That was a hard change to make. Half the time I'd get halfway around, oh, I was going to go this way. And so then the next day I'd maybe do it right and then I forget. And it's kind of irritating to me. I thought, you know, here's just this simple little change, old habit I'm trying to break. And I was thinking about the things of God and how hard it is sometimes to change the way we think about things. It can be just as hard to change the way you think. Many of you in here tonight have wrong thinking about your physical body. You think the wrong way, you speak and say the wrong things, and act the wrong way about your body. You need to change, but it won't be easy. God's words, if you'll receive them into your heart and allow them to stay there, your body will be able to absorb the life out of them and change. Because His words are life and healing. It says in Psalm 107, verse 20, He sent His word and healed them and delivered them from destructions. He sent His word. How does the word heal you? It heals you from the inside out. The word heals from the inside out. You get it on the inside of you. It does its work and heals your body. It says in Romans 10, verse 8, what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. How do you get it in your mouth and your heart? You hear it. You got to hear it and you speak it. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart, here's the principle, with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. That's how you receive. You believe in your heart what God has said, and you confess it out of your mouth. It's like taking medicine. We've talked about it a couple of months ago, I guess now, how that God's word is medicine. When you have a pill, if you have a headache and I have a bottle of ibuprofen, if that's going to do any good, I've got to open it up and swallow it and get that pill down in my body so that it can do its work. If I want the word of God to do something for me, I've got to open it up, read it, meditate it, that gets it down in my heart, and I've got to keep it there so that it can do its work, and it will. It will do its work in your body. Today, I keep going back to the YMCA, I don't know why, but I was at the YMCA today, I was running on the treadmill, and I was listening to a message from a series of called By His Stripes. Great message on healing. I was just really enjoying it. I was all pumped up about how I'm healed and all this kind of stuff. It was just really, really good. About 45 minutes listening to this message. So then it was done, and when I finished running, I turned it off, and right next to the YMCA, there's a grocery store. And so I drove over to the grocery store and got out. And I walked in the doors and I got to the first aisle and a migraine headache started to hit. And I thought, oh my goodness, you know how I'm speaking tonight? It seems like every time I'm going to speak, the devil tries to hit me with something, with my voice or something. And so I knew it was because my vision starts going really weird. I see a little, it just, everything gets kind of weird and crackly and it's this weirdness in my head, you know, and I thought, and so, you know, natural tendency is to get discouraged. You know, I just listened to that message. You know, I need to hurry home and take about, and Jesus, take 4 ibuprofen and lay down, and then after a while it'll be okay. But I thought, you know, I just listened to that message, and what did it say? It said, by his stripes I am healed. So I started thinking about that message, and you know, and I knew what I was going to be speaking on tonight, and I thought, I'm just going to trust the God's word and its life, and what it says is just true. And so I was, as I was going through the store, I just kept thinking, and as I walked out to the car, I was going through Isaiah 53, how about, by his stripes I'm healed, and that, you know, he bore those stripes in his back for my healing. He did that so I wouldn't have to, and he's not more going to do that in vain for me. And I thank you, Lord, that I've been redeemed from the curse of the law, according to Galatians 3:13. It also says in 3 John 2 that, you know, that he wishes above all things that I prosper and that I be in health. And Lord, I just pray that you would help me. I'm not going to try to make this happen. I'm just going to relax, and I'm just going to believe, Father, that your word works, and it works mightily in me. And just by the time I got home, it was no more. It was gone. I was fine. And I've been fine all day. And that was just a miracle from God. I didn't try to. I couldn't make it happen, but I could put the word. I could do my part, couldn't I? I could put the word in there and decide, I'm just going to think about that, and I'm going to trust God, and I'm not going to ask why, and I'm not going to ask all these questions. I'm just going to do the best to believe God's word, that word that I heard. I just heard it, so I'm going to try to practice it and put it into my life. And thank you, Lord. It's good to feel good. So why does this work? Because God's words are alive. His words are alive. It says in Hebrews 4:12, for the word of God is living and it's powerful. It says in John 6:63, Jesus said, it is the spirit that gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you, they are life. His words, they are life. They are spirit and they are life. In the book of 1 Thessalonians, chapter 2, verse 13, there's a scripture that has become a favorite of mine. And here the Apostle Paul is in the church, is writing a letter to the church in Thessalonica. And he's ministered the gospel to them and planted seed in that church. And this is what he says. He says, for this reason, we also thank God without ceasing. Why is Paul thanking God without ceasing? He says, because when you receive the word of God, in other words, you know, when he ministered the word of God to them, he said, you received it, which you heard from us. You welcomed it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which also effectively works in you who believe. I tell you, this is a declaration of mine, is that the word of God works mightily in me. Amen. Say that with me. The word of God works mightily in me. I tell you, when you believe it, it's exciting. That word, it works. Sometimes we just have to stir ourselves up. Stir ourselves up. Nothing is impossible with God. Stir ourselves up about the word of God. We need to learn to say, just like Mary did. You know, when the angel came to Mary, what did he say to her? He said, she's going to have a child. And what did she say? Be it unto me according to thy word. And we need to, when we read the word that says, by his stripes I am healed, I need to say, be it unto me according to thy word. When he says, the chastisement of my peace was upon him, that peace belongs to me, I'll say, peace I accept that, Father. Be it unto me according to your word. Whatever we find in his word, we need to learn to say, be it unto me according to thy word. The word works powerfully when you respond to it correctly. I tell you, the more respect and reverence and faith and the faith response we give to the word, I tell you, miracles will begin to happen. Miracles will begin to happen. I'm going to conclude with one set of scripture here in the verse in Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 32, if you have your Bibles, turn to Deuteronomy 32. Now, the book of Deuteronomy, it's basically a set of farewell messages to this new generation of Israelites who are fixing to go in to possess the promised land. See, Moses is fixing to turn it all over to Joshua. He's the one that's going to take them over. And Moses is fixing to die and go on to be with the Lord. But before he does, he has all these messages he gives him. He was reminding them, the Israelites, of God's laws and how they're supposed to live as his chosen people. So here we are, Deuteronomy 32, verse 45. Almost finished. Stick with me. Verse 45. Moses finished speaking all these words to all Israel, and he said to them. Now remember, what words did he just get through speaking to him? The words of the law, the Ten Commandments, and all the law. He told them how they're supposed to live. Okay. So this is what he says. Set your hearts on all the words which I testify among you today, which you shall command your children to be careful to observe, all the words of this law.
For it is not a futile thing for you, because it is your life. And by his word, you shall prolong your days in the land which you cross over the Jordan to possess.
What did Moses say about God's laws? He said, his laws, he says, it is your life, and it will prolong your days. And that is what the word of God is to you tonight. I declare to you, this is your life, and it will prolong your days. Do you believe it?
Amen.
Amen. Amen.